Good evening. Announcements. As we worship the Lord together with announcements. Can we do that? The Bible says in everything we're to give thanks and worship the Lord, so let's do that, okay? Today is the last day deadline for shoebox for Operation Christmas Child. I need to have those here today. If you don't, let Miss Sarah know. Also, Thursday, November the 18th, blood drive at Patterson Baptist Church, and I have been informed they are in desperate need of you so they can, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Insert that needle and vacuum it out. Pull it out. No, it comes out. So please keep that in mind. November the 20th, Mary Street Mission, if you've signed up to carry food, it needs to be there at 10:30. And if you've signed up to serve and help serve, you need to be there at 12:45. No later, you'll get left out, okay? Poinsettias, see Miss Wendy about those. Baby shower, 4th, of course, that's later on. And other things is later on. You can see in the bulletin. I just want to remind you of those. Any other announcement that needs to claim our attention? Anything you know of? Anything? If you have your Bible, then I invite you to turn me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. The 2nd chapter. In the book of Philippians, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he's wanting them to know and to understand about rejoicing in the Lord and how to rejoice in the Lord. And the thing we need to recognize is the whole scope of us dealing with this and the principle of rejoicing. And I wanted to look at this passage tonight because I was thinking again. Sometimes it's bad for you to think. It's dangerous for you to think, but I was just the other morning, very early, I was stopped. Well, here I am trapped up in the court already. I was thinking and meditating and praying, and the thought come to my mind. I know we're a few weeks away from Christmas yet. Maybe this will be the first Christmas sermon for this year, okay? But anyhow, I was thinking and contemplating about why, Jesus came. Why would he leave all the splendor of heaven, all the riches and the glory of that, and come to a wicked, sinful world? My mind just kind of, I guess you just kind of ran from here to there about it. And as I thought about it, there are several things that come to my mind. But when we recognize the reason for Jesus coming, the purpose for His coming, and the Scripture is very plain in relating the message of the gospel in and through the person of Jesus Christ, and the celebration of what we call Christmas and all the ramifications of that. But I titled the message tonight, "What on Earth Do You Want?" And I was reminded of what Dr. S.M. Lockridge said. Do y'all know him? Anybody know S.M. Lockridge? His name is Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. He's a black preacher. His name was Shadrach Meshach and Abednego Lockridge, but he left off the Abednego because some of them were kind of made fun of him. His own people says Shadrach Meshach and a bad Negro. But anyhow, he said when he was a little boy, they lived in this town in Alabama, southern Alabama, and he said this man had a store and said sometimes he'd catch him, get him some Coke bottles or something to cash in or to get the refund out of him or whatever, deposit. And said he'd have him some money, and he would go to that store, and that clerk would say, "What in the hell do you want?" That's what he would say. And he got to thinking about that after he got to become a preacher, and he titled a sermon like that. The message tonight is, what on earth do you want? You think about that in Jesus. What on earth did he want? Why did he come to the earth? What was the purpose of him coming? When we think about all, as I said a while ago, all the ramifications of His coming, there are several things that was just perfectly and just right. And the Scripture tells us that. But tonight I want us to look at this passage of Scripture in Philippians 2, Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer? He says in chapter 2, starting in verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Did you catch that? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The mind, the term there is the attitude that Christ exhibited. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be," what? "Equal with God." Equal with God. Equal with God. "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him," or "God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, some of the knees are going to bow." Is that what it says? Every knee will bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and also things under the earth. And look what it says. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray together. Father, we bow once again to thank you for the privilege to call you our Father. Your Son made that possible for us, because in and of ourselves we did not know you or recognize you as our Heavenly Father. He set the example as he gave the model prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven," our Father. And Lord, tonight we come to thank you and to praise you because, Lord, of what you made possible for us. You've made it possible, Lord, for us to have inheritance, the inheritance with you and with the saints of God. And Father, tonight we come rejoicing in the fact of what you made possible for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, tonight as we look at this passage together and others we were looking at, I pray, oh God, for you, through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, to make us keenly aware, oh God, of what you have made for us and made possible for us through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Father, it's hard for us to comprehend that the author, the perfecter of glory, the creator of the vast universe and all the things that are in this world, would become a servant to make known your will and your purpose in our lives. I pray, oh God, tonight for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I ask, oh God, once again that you would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you would anoint them and speak through them the unsearchable truth and the riches of your word, that we would be drawn closer to you and to each other in the bond of your perfect love, a love that is beyond, Lord, anything this world has to offer. A love that constrains us, it contains us, it binds us together. And I pray, oh Father, that you'd just work and do that which only you can. If there's one here that has never trusted you as Lord and Savior, this would be the day of salvation for them. That they would come to know the reality of what it means to pass from death unto life because of Jesus coming and taking his abode within their life by their invitation. Father, we pray thanking you for what you're going to do in this service tonight. In Jesus' strong and powerful name, amen. We have been reminded by Paul's writing that Jesus came Turn back just to Galatians just a moment. The Galatians, the fourth chapter. In verse 4, Paul says here, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come," when the fullness of time was come, the term there, if you take that out of the Greek vernacular, it means that everything was just right. Everything was just right. "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the" what? "The adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We have a glorious God, a one that made possible for us to know and to understand what it meant to have a right relationship with Almighty God. When we come to think about why Jesus come, what on earth do you want? When we think about that, I think first of all, as we look, it's because of the mission that He came to accomplish. And when I say the mission He came to accomplish, we need to realize He said He came to do the will of the Father. Jesus came for that purpose and that purpose alone. He came to do the will of the Father. What is it? What is the will of the Father? Have you ever really given that much thought? What is the will of the Father? What's the Father's will? The Bible tells us that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that that's His will. We also know that, as Paul pointed out there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." That's for you and I as believers. But what was the will of God as Jesus came to earth? What did He come for? What is it, or what was it? I think, first of all, we need to recognize that Jesus came to declare the awfulness of hell to those that are lost. I mean, as I said last Sunday, in last Sunday night's message, Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven. The reason He did is because He understood that hell was not created for a man from the very beginning. It was created for the fallen angels, Lucifer and all his hosts that followed him. And it was created for them because of their disobedience and willful disobedience against the Father, trying to make Himself and elevate Himself as God. But the thing about it is, not only that did He come not only to declare the awfulness of hell to the lost, but He also come to describe the beauty of heaven for those who are saved. That's what He talked about there in John the 14th chapter. He says, well, just turn there a moment. John 14. Now, you knew it, probably knew it by heart, but let's look at it again. Look how He begins that verse. This would leave a lot of folks out this day and time. John 14, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also" who or where? "In Me." Jesus was not doubting their belief about God. But you know what Jesus is saying there? If you do not believe who I am, you do not know who God is. These people... Oh, Lord, I don't even need to get started on that. But anyhow, what Jesus is saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Look what He says. "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas saith him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man, woman, boy, or girl comes to the Father but by Me." Jesus is explaining, and as we look in the book of the Revelation, we see that John catches a glimpse of glory. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, called a glimpse of glory, where he says, "I know a man above 14 years ago, whether in the flesh or out of the flesh, I do not know, I cannot tell, but he was caught up to paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Paul was talking about himself there because of his stoning and being left for dead. And Paul went on to say that he saw things that are unlawful, is the term that he used there, unlawful to even mention or talk about, because their faith super exceed anything that you can imagine in this world. So what Jesus came to do is he came to present to us really a living picture of heaven on earth. As we see the person of Jesus Christ, we see the living reality of heaven on earth. Jesus became a man so that he could demonstrate to us all of heaven we need to know and to understand about. So when we see that, because he came and he had a mission to accomplish, to do the will of the Father. It is our mission. It is our mission to do His mission and His will, the will of the Father. But the question to me, are we doing the will of the Father? The second thing, as we move along, the second thing is because of the mess religion had made. And now, if you went back and you studied, looked at some of the first century writers, and there are several that you can read behind. Josephus is one of them. As he explains and tries to relate to you how religion has become so, I guess you say, so spellbinding from a standpoint that the law and everything about it caused mankind to be burdened down, and that's what Jesus came for. He came as a burden bearer to bear up the burden that we were under, the burden of the law, because no man could keep the law. The problem was religion had become a burden to bear rather than a blessing to believe. It had become a burden to bear. Why? Because it had redefined God's law and it had removed His love. Are you with me? It had redefined God's law and it had removed His love from off the whole scale of it. The scribes in that day had determined the Jews were obligated to obey 613 precepts they got from the Ten Commandments. When I say 613 precepts, they were 365 of those were negatives. And then they were 248 that were positive. There were some things that just blow your mind to read and to look at how they had took those Ten Commandments and they had so misconstrued them to be a burden to people that they could not bear. And that's what Jesus came as. He came as the great burden bearer, as the one to share and to relate that, because He knew what it meant. So we see that the religion of that day had messed up what God had designed. Even though the law was never intended to bring salvation to man, it was to lead them, as Paul says, as a schoolmaster up to the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the whole book of the law is about. That's what the whole Old Testament is about, is to lead us up to the person of Jesus Christ, as the term is used there, schoolmaster, pedagogy, one that brings the child, carries him to school, make sure he gets there, make sure he gets back home. And that's what it was, is the law was designed for that. Paul talks about that, to lead us or to bring us to the reality and the fulfillment of the law in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He says, I have not come to destroy the law, but to do what? I didn't hear you. To do what? To fulfill it. The term there means to literally overflow it. To fill it so full it overflows. And that's exactly what Jesus lived out as He demonstrated, if you please, the very love of God as He lived among mankind. Jesus came to live out the law and not to do away with the law, but to live it out and to have significance and meaning of what the law really was. Paul had a problem with that. He had a time explaining that to the church at Galatia, how that they had once accepted Jesus Christ and responded to His love, and now they were wanting to get back under the law. They thought you had to keep the law. There were those who came around, those Judaizers, and told them, well, if you know, accepting Jesus is a is a part of it, then if you'll keep the law, you'll have more of it. So then Paul tried to relate to them and tell them, you cannot keep the law because the law does not save. We need to recognize and understand that religion had become a burden on the people. And Jesus came as that great burden bearer to bear up under the law. That's what Paul said there. Is it not in Galatians? We just read that verse. What did it say there? To redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. We need to understand and realize what Paul was saying there. He came for that purpose. In this passage we're looking at before us tonight, as we look at this passage, he was made, look at what it says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The term form there means an outward expression of an inward nature. Are you with me? An outward expression of an inward nature. In other words, in eternity past, Jesus Christ was God, and when Jesus Christ came, you saw God in who He was. He is the very epitome of all there is to know, all we need to know about who God is. That's exactly why He came. Religion had made a mess of that. They had made the laws to none effect because of all the wrong teachings about who God was and who Jesus Christ was. But the thing about it is, He came to clear up the mess of what religion had made. But there's another reason, and that is because of the misery of mankind. When I say the misery of mankind, as I said, they were already under a burden, and that's exactly what Jesus came as, a burden bearer. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost," because of the misery of mankind. Turn to Matthew 9:36 just a moment. We looked at that several weeks ago, but let's look at it again. They say repetition is the best teacher in the world. Matthew 9:36. You probably know that passage by heart. It says, "But when he saw the multitude," when Jesus saw the multitude, "he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Did you catch that? He came because of the misery of mankind. Jesus looked on them as sheep without a shepherd. They were faint. The term there means they were downtrodden, weary of being so weary because of the limitations on their lives, because of the law, because of who they were. They were faint, the term there, faint, downtrodden. Says they were scattered abroad, not just lost, but with nowhere to go, no hope whatsoever. That'd be terrible, would it not? Is to be lost, be one thing to be lost, but then be lost with nowhere really to go, no hope. No hope. But you know what? Jesus came to give hope, because He is hope. In the person of Jesus Christ, we can know hope, the reality hope of hope. It says they were scattered abroad, nowhere to go, nowhere to be, gone astray, just don't really care. They had got to that point, didn't care. But see, then Jesus came on the scene. That's why on earth He came. That's why He came to earth, is because of the love that He had for mankind. They were gone astray, didn't really care. He saw them as fields white unto harvest. That's what He says there in verse 36. "Look, because the fields are white unto harvest. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into those vineyards, into those places of gathering up the fruit, if you please." I'm reminded after I moved to Pavo, there's a man in the church there that was a farmer. Matter of fact, he farmed, I believe it was, that year that I was there, he farmed 2,200 acres of cotton and about 800 acres of peanuts. But the year before, in 85, Kate came through. And he also done commercial cotton picking for other people. But he had gathered other people's cotton and left his go, but Kate come through. And he told me out of his own mouth, he said, "Brother Dixon," he says, "I lost $196,000 that year because I did not gather my fields. I did not gather my crop. I tell you, when he told me that, I thought, man, what in the world? You know, how can you bounce back from that? But you know what? Jesus, as he looked out on the fields, he saw them white unto harvest. White unto harvest. And he says, pray ye therefore that the Lord will send forth laborers into that harvest. Into that harvest to accumulate that before it's everlasting too late. And we never know when a cape might come through, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. We've had a tragedy in our county this week. Two young men's life was snuffed out. One instantaneously, other than a little while later. And the thing about it is, just 3 weeks prior to the Dixon boy, he had made a commitment to Jesus Christ. To accept Jesus Christ. Just think, what if it happened 4 weeks before that? Where would he be? Where would he be? The other boy was a Christian, working in his church, on mission trips. But the thing about it is we never know when the end is coming. We could either one be killed before we leave here tonight or die. You know, that's just one of those things. And I preached about that last Sunday night. Death is inevitable. It's coming. But the thing about it is where will we spend eternity? Where will we spend eternity? How do you see the world today? How do you see the world today? Now you know how Jesus sees it. And you see what Jesus wanted. You say, you ask the question of the message is, what on earth do you want? Let me tell you what Jesus wanted. He wanted you. He wanted me. To know the Father. To know the Father so that we could have that unique fellowship and that unique relationship with Him. There's a song in the Baptist hymnal on page 557. It says, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? People need the Lord. Jesus' thoughts of others. He thought of others. And he became a servant. That's what the scripture tells. That's what Paul was saying here. That means, as Paul stated, first of all, he emptied himself. He emptied himself, laying aside the independent use of his own attributes as God. As God. Secondly, he permanently became a human in a sinless human body. Third, he used that body to be that servant. Jesus, when those disciples were bickering about who's going to be the greatest, Jesus tried to relate a little child to them. And then there after the Lord's Supper, or during the time of this, Jesus took a towel and he girded himself and he washed their feet. And he told them about servanthood and what it meant to be a servant. Jesus came to be a servant. That's exactly why he came, is to be a servant. A servant. There's a lot to be said about that. But the fourth thing is he took that body, that servant's body, to the cross and he willingly died. Willingly died. Willingly died. The song says, oh, what a wonder. Oh, what a wonder. Oh, what a wondrous love. Wondrous love. What grace. See, he came from heaven to earth. He came from glory to shame. He came from being a master to be a servant. He came from life and he came to death just for you and just for me. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said there. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross, the cursed cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Tonight, Jesus came. Why did he come? He came to earth so that he could save fallen man, so that he could love us with an eternal love, a God kind of love that we cannot comprehend and we cannot understand. But he loves us. And I, like I said last Sunday, I get bogged up in that sometimes because I don't understand. But we can't understand it because it's a God kind of love. It's a kind of love that is unconditional. In all our life, we have been taught this conditional kind of love. Well, if you do this, then we'll do that. If you do this kind of, if you're good in this, then you get a congratulated or whatever it is. But let me tell you something. God is not like that. He loves us when we mess up, when we blow up, when things happen in our life. He still loves us with an eternal love. Eternal love. That's why Jesus came. What on earth do you want, Jesus? He wants you and he wants me. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your blessed word. How you speak to us from your word. And Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never trusted you, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that this may be the day that they say yes to you. They'll take that one step of faith. And when they take that first step of faith, you will walk with them throughout eternity. And I pray, oh God, tonight that you'll just help us all to look to you. Help us to recognize that the fields are white unto harvest. The world is ready. Ready. Are we going to be the gospel bearers that we need to be for the glory of God? We pray, oh Lord, tonight there's one here that needs to come to accept you. I pray that you'll give them the courage to do that. If one needs to come in recommitment, rededication, reaffirmation, Lord, whatever the decision they have, they may need to come and join and unite with this church. Say, I want to be a worker in this church for the glory of God. Whatever decision, Lord, that you would have us to make, Lord, help us to do it. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen. Hymn of invitation.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from.